Chapter 30. Rouge. Just because everything is different, doesn't mean anything has changed. Rouge didn't know who said it first, but her dad loved to mutter it while grading papers, and both he and the original author were absolutely right. It had been over 24 hours since Aspen died. 2 days in the game, and the longest, most boring Saturday she could remember. She had spent most of it doing homework that had been skipped or delayed in favor of playing Vo, and intermittently watching streams by people on both sides of the virtual conflict. The players who worshipped the Pantheon of Light were coming out of the woodwork now. Some of them had already reached the bottleneck in the mountain pass, and the vids of the battles there were pretty epic. In fact, many of the dark side players who had been camped around Refuge had gone back south, and there were obvious gaps in the besieging forces now. None of which changed anything. Refuge was still surrounded. Everyone inside was perfectly comfortable physically, with plenty of food and fresh water. Mentally, however, the strain was showing. Since Aspen died, Sarave walked around like a ghost. She still performed her duties, but it was only when she was with Juniper that any trace of life came back into her drawn features. Auntie Lig was basically running the city, along with the council, which was good, because without Aspen there to pull people together, and Sarave using her super awesome queen skills, tensions were running high. The goblins, in particular, were a point of contention. Most of the ladies who had accompanied Auntie Lig were from old goblin to families, and they seemed to have used their entire lifetime supply of gumption just getting here. They didn't know how to do anything, weren't used to using their brains, and were more like old-style NPCs than anyone Rouge had seen in months. Talking to them brought the fact that this was a game into stark relief, and they made Rouge extremely uncomfortable. And of course there was Aspen. Or rather, there wasn't Aspen. Rouge flicked her eyes to the side, where the minimized quest menu lurked. It would flash red if there was any change, but there hadn't been a flicker since the moment Aspen died. Nonetheless, Rouge opened it, as she had 1,000 times already, feeling morbidly compelled to stare at the information again. Secret quest, who run the world? This is a secret quest. If you tell anyone about it before it is complete, you will automatically fail it. The forces of light and darkness are struggling for control of the world. Each side has appointed champions, and for the first time, those champions are facing each other directly. You must defeat Apophis's king in order to keep the world safe from those who would reduce it to a place of strife and suffering. Success, level 100 or 15 levels, whichever is greater. 1 million gold. Become a Saintess of Gina. Failure, Apophis's religion becomes the dominant one in the world. All races other than human lose status as sapient beings. Silas death. Kor's death. Sumi's death. Sarave's death. Juniper's death. William's enslavement. Bond's death. Secret quest, who run the world updated. Opposing faction current completion, 51%. Rouge the Rogue current completion, 47%. Two things had changed when Rouge had been notified of Aspen's demise. First, her completion percentage plummeted. Second, Aspen's death had been removed from the list of consequences of failure. Because he was already dead. Rouge's eyes burned as she stared out over the rapidly darkening scene below. She had cried enough in the real world, but of course she couldn't hear, and the lack of that release was worse than she could have imagined. She turned her face into the huddled form of Silas, who was glued to Rouge's neck, as she had been since the moment Aspen's voice had faded from their minds. "Did you check your party list?" Silas asked brokenly. Rouge cursed herself for waking the little bat up with her movement. "I will," she said gently. Silas had asked over and over since Aspen had. Rouge swallowed hard and pulled up the list. Oddly, Aspen's name was still there, though his health and mana were listed as zero. She didn't know why he wasn't either gone or listed as dead, but she also didn't know for sure why she could party with him, so it could be a glitch, or it might be working as intended. "I'm sorry, Silas," Rouge said gently, though the words tried to catch in her throat. The small body trembled, and Silas' wing thumbs scraped Rouge's neck, as she wrapped her delicate wings around the girl's throat in the closest equivalent she had to a hug. "Thank you," she whispered. Rouge thought her heart would break at her friend's pain, and she felt fury rise up in her again even as she tenderly stroked the soft tufts of silver fur in front of the bat's big ears. Because Rouge was angry. That was one of the stages of grief, wasn't it? Depression, anger, bargaining, acceptance, was there another one? Oh yeah. Denial. Silas was deep in denial, while Sarave was practically swimming in an ocean of depression. Not Rouge, though. No, she was still furious. Because what had Aspen's death achieved, exactly? Diddley followed by Squat. Sure, Kuji hadn't attacked yet, no doubt because his sacrifice had sacrificed himself too early. There had been no sign, however, that Akuji was dead. More dead. In fact, Rouge was sure he wasn't, because if he was, the stupid Who Run the World quest would be done. Completed. And Rouge would be able to log out and go back to just being Zoe again. Though Zoe had her own problems. Rouge winced as she thought about the messages that had been flooding all of her communications. Fanny Hat, aka Mr. Harrison, aka Phil, because if he hated being called Phil, that was totally what she was going with, had found her. Not just her school but her. He had even gotten hold of her private it, and no matter how many of his spoofed addies she blocked, he wriggled his way in like Aspen's gross lockpick worm, Jimmy. Fortunately, Phil wasn't interested in her the same way he was in Doom. His messages were disturbed and disturbing, but not explicit, and she was grateful for that at least. Now that Aspen was dead, Rouge was behind in quest completion again, and Refuge was clearly going to be destroyed. She knew that she should let her dad know what old Philly was up to. Even if she didn't, Jace would, and she knew he was right, and also that if he had any idea that Phil was still contacting her, Jace would go straight to Mott, even though he'd promised to wait until Monday. Not that Monday was very far away. It was already Sunday morning in the real world. She had less than a day before everything was over. Not that there was any doubt which way things would go. There was only one thing that gave her any hope. Bree Stevenson hadn't made an appearance yet. Of course, after being immersed in an experimental VR pod for months, Bree would probably need to recover for a while, so that wasn't really surprising. Still, Bree had been a celebrity for decades, and everyone knew that fame was more than fleeting these days. It would vanish in an instant if the famous person, or their employees, didn't work constantly to keep it alive. Someone had been reposting Bree's old videos, creating highlight vids, and interacting with fans, but it had still been months. Dozens of new games had been released without a peep from the single most influential game reviewer alive. Yeah, if Bree was out, Rouge was pretty sure she would have been posting about it. Sneak peek, screenshots, teasers, something. In this case, silence really spoke louder than words, and Rouge was pinning her own river of denial on it. Maybe, just maybe, there was still a chance. Unless, of course, Rouge and Mott were wrong about what role Bree was playing, and wouldn't that be embarrassing for Mott? Rouge leaned forward over the edge of the wall, remembering herself only when an arrow clipped the pointed tip of her ear. You have taken 17 points of damage from player arsenal. She jerked back, a sharp pinprick punching through her low pain settings. Whoops came from below, and she saw several players give high fives to a guy with a bow. The guy flipped Rouge a different gesture, and Rouge bared her teeth at him, then flicked a look up at the sky. Picking out a small cloud directly overhead, she triggered skywriting, and the cloud shifted into a much larger mirror of the hand motion. Thunder rumbled in response, and Rouge released the cloud, muttering, "Yeah, yeah, no, no rude emojis in chat." Silas shifted so she could look up at Rouge's ear. "Are you all right?" Gingerly, Rouge touched the wound. Since she wasn't in combat, it was healing already, and she could actually feel the skin and cartilage reforming beneath her fingers. She shuddered a little and snatched her fingers away. That was always so freaky. "Yeah, Silas, I'm fine. I'm..." She hesitated. Saying "I'm sorry" to Silas right now was a huge trigger, and she changed her words mid-sentence, finishing lamely with, "I'm really, I'm fine. I shouldn't have leaned out, especially with you on my shoulder." "Were you trying to look at the tent?" Silas' voice was small and sad. Rouge sighed. "Yeah. I know we can't get there, and even if we could, his body would be nothing but another thoroughly trampled pile of fertile earth by now. Even if she could get to the large tent, there was no corpse to retrieve. There would be no funeral either, though maybe someday, after this was all over, Rouge and Mott and the other players would hold a wake in his memory. None of the NPCs would be there, of course, because they only had one life, and this was it, and they would all die sometime in the near future. Rouge felt her eyes start burning again, and hopeless, helpless sorrow and fury boiled up in her chest like lava forcing its way to the surface of the earth. What kind of stupid game was this? How could the devs, how could Bridget, allow the players enough power to ruin it like this? Once the cult won, the only thing Veritas Online would be good for was another RPG fighting game. The sense of community, of cheerful liveliness and growth, that was all about to be destroyed because a bunch of short-sighted idiots thought destroying was more fun than building. A big hand touched her shoulder and she started. Her mom belly appeared in her hand as she crouched and spun on one heel, twisting away from the sudden intrusion. Mott held out a black gauntleted hand, his expression concerned. "What's going on, kiddo?" Rouge stood, vanishing her blade as she leaned into her dad's armored form. He was even taller and broader here than he was in real life, and she was engulfed in strong warm arms as he used his inventory to exchange his armor for a simple tunic and leather pants. Her fingers formed into fists, clutching at his shirt as she closed her eyes and inhaled the musky metallic scent that was almost as familiar to her as the Old Spice aftershave he used in real life. "Hi, Dad," she mumbled, her words muffled by his shirt. His hand stroked her hair, which she'd changed to curly poofs to match her new look in real life. "Hey! Are you sure you want to be here? You know this is," he hesitated, and she felt the tension in his chest and hand. "This is going to be really hard." She clung to him as silence filled the air around them, before finally managing to push herself back far enough to look up at him. Dark eyes examined her face intently, and his brows were drawn down toward a deep crease above his nose. She drew in a long, shaky breath and nodded. "I'm sure. At least for one more day. Maybe tomorrow I'll feel different." "I won't," she thought bitterly, "but you will. You'll never let me play this game again once you find out what that jerk has been doing. I haven't done anything wrong, but I'm the one who'll be punished, though you won't see it that way." Helpless fury made her shoulders curl in, and she lowered her head so Mott couldn't see her face. He thought she was sad. If he saw anger instead, he'd want to know why. Then Mott's embrace fell away. In a heartbeat, black metal encased him again. He even put on the faceless ebony helmet that was enchanted to allow him to see, even though it had no eye holes. "Rouge, look!" Gauntleted hands gripped her waist and lifted her up, allowing her to see above the crenellations on the wall, instead of peering out between them as she usually did. "What is that?" she whispered. On her shoulder, Silas stirred. "Aspen!" the bat cried and leapt from her perch. Rouge desperately reached out after her friend, but the small creature was already winging away far faster than Rouge could possibly follow, especially from 30 feet up. "Silas!" Rouge yelled, horror filling her as her friend flew over the walls into unprotected space. She fully expected to see the bat fall, pierced by 100 arrows, but Mott wasn't the only one who was distracted by the light. It was brilliant. It coruscated with all the colors of the rainbow, and its radiance was an almost physical force. The undead, who had emerged from their protective shelters with the setting of the sun, stumbled back. Whatever was happening, it clearly wasn't something the cultists had expected or desired. And it was coming from the tent where Aspen had died.